In the previous episode, we talked about Series 4 of Marvel Legends, and this was the very first series to come out in the year 2003. This is the second year of the Marvel Legends line. In this episode, we are going to continue talking about the figures that came out in 2003, and we're going to start right now. What's going on, you guys? My name is Ramney, and this is an Oral History of Marvel Legends podcast. Welcome, you guys, to the show. Like I mentioned, if you guys have not heard the previous episode, it's best you guys go and take a listen, gander a listen to the previous episode, because we talked about the figures that came out 2003. Now, prior to that, I talked about the figures that came out in 2002, which was the very first year of the Marvel Legends line. And yeah, we're going to continue. In the last episode, we talked about the context of the year 2003, and I mentioned a couple of things. I talked about the movies that came out around this time, comic book movies anyway, specifically Marvel movies. I talked about the the other toy lines that came out around this time, specifically Spider-Man Classics, the Spider-Man movie series, Hulk Classics, maybe. I'm not sure if it came out around this time, but yeah, that came out. Lord of the Rings came out. McFarlane Toys, I didn't really talk about, but around 2003, McFarlane Toys was kind of in their prime. They were the bona fide, like, number one toy company, really. And they were already deep into their Spawn series. They were already in, like, series 24, 25. And they were doing Movie Maniacs around this time. And they were also doing sports figures. And these guys were not really, like, McFarlane Toys was not really a direct competition of Toy Biz, because I feel like McFarlane leans more towards statue collectibles as opposed to, you know, posable figures. So yeah, but anyway, McFarlane was the innovator for sculpt. McFarlane was the innovator for just the toys looking more like art pieces as opposed to toys like what it used to look like. So yeah, this is definitely, you know, the improvements in sculpt was definitely pushed by the innovations of McFarlane. So let's talk about the figures that came out now at this time, 2003. And let's talk about, first of all, Series 4 came out in June, and I mentioned that Series 3 came out December 2002. So between December 2002 and June 2003, there's that big gap where there was no figures that were being released. Marvel Legends figures anyways. There were still a lot of Spider-Man Classics figures being released at that time. But yeah, the latter part of the year, as I mentioned, was when, you know, they ramped up the amount of Marvel Legends releases. So there were 5 figures in Series 4. And then what happened after that? So let's find out. So June was Series 4. And then July, August, September. So 3 months later, Toy Biz releases, or they would go on to release, 2 box sets. I think at the time they were called gift packs. So yeah, they were the X-Men Legends gift pack or box set, came out in September 2003, along with the Urban Legends gift pack or box set. So these are 2 box sets that came out in September 2003 by Toy Biz. And for me personally, I never acquired these box sets, not at retail. at that time anyway. Let's talk about them. Let's start off by talking about the X-Men Legends 5-pack gift pack or box set. I'm going to start calling them box set from now on because it just makes more sense to me. But the X-Men Legends were 5 Legends figures, and for the most part, 4 of them were our re-releases, and then there's one brand new figure. Okay, so taking a look at it, you have Gambit, which was a re-release of the Gambit that we got in Series 4 just a few months before. Magneto was a re-release of the, I believe, Series 3 Magneto. And then you have Beast, which is a re-release of Series 4 Beast. And Wolverine, which is a re-release of the Series 3 Tiger Stripe Wolverine. So let's talk about those 4 first, and then we're going to talk about the brand new figure that came out at this time, which, if you guys already know who I'm talking about, she's kind of garnered her own reputation by this point, the infamous Rogue, Toy Biz Rogue. Let's talk about her later on. Let's first start with Gambit. When I was looking for reviews of this box set, I didn't really see a lot. And if you guys didn't know kind of the method to my research for these podcast episodes, I was mainly interested in looking at reviews of these figures that came out when these figures came out. I tried not to look at like throwback reviews and all that stuff. And the main reason for that is because I kind of am interested in what and how the collectors reacted to these figures as they came out without having tainted by, you know, the innovations that Hasbro had come or had created, or, you know, like newer, better versions of these characters. So, for example, looking at the Beast, we now have a Hasbro classic sort of 90s Beast figure. So if you were to take a look at a review now versus a review that was released back then of Toy Biz Beast, then the review of Toy Biz Beast from nowadays will have that comparison. You'll see that person or the reviewer will be comparing the Hasbro Beast to the Toy Biz Beast. And I didn't want that. I wanted like a very genuine reaction to the Toy Biz Beast when they came out. So that's why I searched for, you know, just the what do you call it? These old reviews. And there's quite a bit. Again, in 2003, there was no YouTube yet, so a lot of the reviews that I read were read. They were websites, and they were written reviews. So, for the most part, I saw a couple from the Foosh, because the Foosh has been around for a long time. MWC Toys was already putting out a lot of reviews. TMNT Toys came out with reviews by then. OAFE.net was the main go-to website that I used to go to. They used to have a discussion forum called the Loafing Lounge, which I used to go to all the time. And Foosh also had a discussion forum, although I wasn't really too involved in that. I would definitely stalk it for a lot of information on action figures, though, for sure. Anyway, so Gambit came out, and it is the same, pretty much the exact same figure as the Gambit that came out in Series 4. The only difference really is like there's more tan and stubble in the single carded Gambit from Series 4 than this one. Plus, this Gambit, how pretty much the way that you can tell apart the regular like Series 4 Gambit release versus this box set Gambit is the material that his cape is made of. So if you bought this Gambit, this Toy Biz Gambit used, for example, from eBay, the way that you can tell if it's a Series 4 Gambit or an X-Men Legends box set Gambit is if it is made of canvas. The trench coat, if it's made of like canvas material, then it is Series 4. If it is made of pleather, then it is the X-Men box set Gambit. That is pretty much the way that you can tell the two. But otherwise, it's the exact same figure, exact same sculpt and everything. Just slight paint variations and that trench coat. Same thing now with Beast. So if you take a look at this Beast figure and you compare it to the one that came out in Series 4, the distinct feature is that this Beast actually came with glasses and a lab coat, a cloth goods lab coat. So that's how you can tell the difference. This Beast pretty much looks exactly the same, that if you take out the lab coat, if you take out the glasses, you won't be able to tell really which Beast is which. And that's not a bad thing, I guess. But I guess you could count this Beast as a second Toy Biz Beast release, although it's the exact same figure, just in a box set. The Wolverine, however, has a slightly different head sculpt, as does Magneto. With Wolverine, this is the maskless version of Wolverine, but if you take a look at the mug, the head, the face, compare this face with the Chase Series 3 Wolverine figure, that's also a maskless Wolverine. It's got a different sculpt altogether. So that's what makes this distinct, and that's how you can tell between the two, is the pretty much the hairstyle. So the Series 3 Chase Wolverine figure has more of the like the hair horns. I don't know what you call it, but you know how Wolverine's hair kind of sticks out like horns on the side? Well, that's more distinct in the Series 3 release, whereas the X-Men Legends box set release didn't really have that. It's more ruffled. and the mouth is a little bit more open as well. So that's pretty cool. Don't mistake the box set Wolverine, which is a lot less rare. Don't mistake that Wolverine figure for the Chase Wolverine figure from Series 3, which is more rare. I think if you look in eBay, they mix up the two quite a bit. And yeah, buyer beware, I guess. It's a fairly decent figure. I mean, it still has the same issues as that Wolverine figure that came out in the previous year. Mainly, it's like that pre-posed torso. Doesn't have a nab crunch. It's a... you could tell that it's kind of twisted, so it's got that. Plus, it's a little bit taller than Wolverine is supposed to be. But for the most part, I think you're supposed to pose this guy crouching anyway, which makes him short. So, yeah. Articulation for the sake of saying there's a lot of articulation, because this Wolverine here, there really is no reason for his fingers to be articulated like that, but they did it anyway. And you know, it looks silly because you can't make a fist. It only really looks good open, so what's the point in it, right? But, you know, it's Toy Biz doing a lot of experimentation again. So that's the Wolverine. And then the Magneto is a very similar to the Magneto that came out in Series 3. However, the face sculpt under the helmet is different. So the helmet is removable. But if you take a look at that helmet, you'll see that it's got like a Magneto with an open mouth and a scowl, which is different than the more stoic Magneto from Series 3. So that's how you can tell between the two. Between the two Magnetos, I still do prefer the Series 3 one over this one. And between the Wolverines, I do prefer the box set Wolverine over the Chase Wolverine figure. Although for me personally, I don't think I have any figures from this box set. No, I don't. Not even that Rogue. Did I spoil it already? But yeah, let's talk about her anyway. So this is the Rogue. This is the Rogue with the reputation. This is the infamous Toy Biz Rogue that everybody likes to reference and, you know, make fun of. And this is kind of like the shining example of how terrible Toy Biz used to be, according to a lot of the people in Facebook anyway, when they talk about Toy Biz not being that good of a company. They definitely look to this Rogue as an example of that. And you know what? This Rogue wasn't... I feel like an apologist for Toy Biz, really. But when this came out, I didn't think it was that bad. Of course, like, it looks terrible now that you are spoiled with some really gorgeous Hasbro female sculpts. I mean, just looking at the Jean Grey that just came out is like really nice. A lot of the Storms that just came out are like really pretty. And Invisible Woman, really nice face sculpts. And the Black Widow and Scarlet Witch, I'm like just looking at my wall here. But so yeah, if you compare this to that, yeah, it's definitely terrible. But considering that this was the second female figure of the Marvel Legends line, it was definitely... there's nothing to compare it to, really, than the Elektra that came out just before this. So this Rogue was just that. It's Rogue in 6-inch form. So yeah, that was... and the thing was, this was the Rogue that we got for the longest time, until like 2016 or so, whenever the Juggernaut Wave Rogue came out. This was the Jim Lee Rogue that we got. So if people wanted to complete their Rogues, this was it. And unfortunately, this was it. It's not that good of a figure, especially now that you... when you look at it. And when I'm reading the reviews from a while back, you know, they did say it's not the prettiest figure, but they also did not say that it was terrible. Again, you have the weird Y hips that Elektra got. It is actually a reuse of that Elektra body. It does look a lot different though, because it's got brand new knees. And this Rogue has a brand new head sculpt, obviously. And also a soft goods jacket. The soft goods jacket is very similar to the Gambit that we got in this line, and that's the pleather type of thing. The problem with pleather, and the problem that I have with soft goods in general, is that it just doesn't look good. And the problem with this Rogue specifically is that pleather really isn't pliable enough, that Rogue cannot put her arms down because of the thickness of that jacket. That's the issue that I have with soft goods, is that they don't translate very well when they shrink down. soft goods acts like, you know, when you shrink plastic down, you can kind of like, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. When you take soft goods and you create a trench coat, for example, for Gambit, if you create a trench coat for a 6-inch figure, that soft goods is still going to behave like normal, not normal clothing. So like it doesn't, like the effect of the jacket kind of like moving with the body and folding kind of thing, it doesn't shrink down. It stays the same. So I don't know. And the stitching is not going to shrink. It's going to stay the same size as stitching would for a regular person. And it just looks off. And for Rogue and Gambit especially, they just don't look good. And for Beast too, Beast has a soft goods lab coat in this line. It just doesn't look good. It looks like pajamas really. And yeah, just not a huge fan of Mezco for that reason. Anyway, that's the Rogue figure. The suggested retail price for this 5-pack box set was $35 to $40, which was reasonable for a time because you have 5 figures, $40, a little bit less than 10 bucks a figure. So that's that. This box set does come with a poster book with I think it was the size of a comic, but it is a color poster book that had some really cool artwork of these figures. The read up on the back is very similar to the read ups of the single releases of these figures. So that's kind of cool. The back also has, like, the back of the packaging has the power levels, which I forgot to mention in the previous podcast episode, is that there was a change in series 4 in the back of the packaging of the clamshell, in that I think it was series 4 where they started putting power levels for each character. So that's something that we don't see nowadays, is that very specific packaging design for each figure, like power levels and detailed biographies. We don't get that nowadays like we did before. The figures came with stands, so they don't have those detailed bases. They got rid of those. Instead, you got an X, a circular stand, 2 pegs of a red X, and like a blue background. Red X on a blue background. So, pretty cool stuff. For the most part, the only reason why you'd get this figure really is for Rogue and possibly for that Wolverine. But the others were pretty abundant in retail. Anyway, for me anyway, it was still abundant in retail. I was able to pick up the single release of these figures without a problem. So yeah, that's that X-Men Legends box set. Moving on, you guys, let's talk about the second box set that came out in September 2003. This is the Urban Legends box set, or Urban Legends gift pack, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to call it a box set from now on. And it comes with 4 figures. The MSRP, the suggested retail price for this box set, was $30, which isn't too bad because that's less than 10 bucks a figure. Well, let's talk about Elektra first. Anyway, it comes with a white Elektra. It comes with Daredevil, Spider-Man, and Punisher. So these guys are street-level heroes, anti-heroes. They are the Urban Legends. And taking a look at the Elektra now. Elektra is the white version of the Series 4. So it's just a repaint of that Series 4 figure. But it does come with a brand new head. It's white with different shades of gray, which is a look that she had in the comics for a time. And this box, this Elektra was, well, I guess the only way for you to get a white Elektra is to get the Urban Legends. And it was a pretty cool figure. I do have this white Elektra, and I do have the red one as well. And they are, for the most part, the exact same figure, even down to the weird articulation of the body. But, like, at this time, this is the third female figure that they got for Urban Legends, and two of them are Elektra, so that's kind of odd if you really think about it. Like, Elektra is not even, like, the most popular female Marvel character, and she already has, like, she's two-thirds of all the female figures that came out in Marvel Legends at this time. So that's that. So Elektra was pretty good, again sculpted by Steve Kiwoos, which I forgot to mention was also the same person that sculpted the Rogue figure that came in the X-Men Legends box set. So you know, like, the thing is, I'm going to defend this guy, because if you take a look at his Instagram, he is actually really talented. And Rogue figure is now notorious for having one of the ugliest face sculpts in all of Marvel Legends history. Going back now, we're going back to Rogue in the X-Men Legends box set, it seems. But yeah, this Rogue is touted as the ugliest or one of the ugliest Marvel Legends in history. But the thing is, I feel like it wasn't made this way. Like, it's only after, like, a process, right? Like, I'm kind of going on Steve Kiwis's defense here and saying that when he sculpted Rogue, it was probably a gorgeous figure. And then throughout the manufacturing process, from shrinking that 12-inch original sculpt into 6 inches, and then, you know, having a whole bunch of different people kind of painting it and everything, then you ended up with this abomination. I do feel like, you know, if you take someone like a really great customizer like Mike De La Paz or something like that, if you give him a Toy Biz Rogue, have him erase all of the paint and then redo it with better paint, I'm willing to bet that it's the paint that makes this figure ugly and not the sculpt. That's my take on it anyway. Like, if you take a look at it, and I know this from, like, art school, you should never draw individual eyebrow hair on females. And that's exactly what happened to this Rogue figure. If you look at the if you look at the face, for example, it's like somebody decided that they would paint the individual eyelash hairs on her, and it just doesn't look very good. So I don't know. I think erase all the paint and have a master painter customizer paint it, and it'll look really nice. That's my take on Rogue anyway. So anyway, let's leave Rogue aside now. Let's keep talking about the Urban Legends box set. And let's move on to Daredevil. And last episode I talked about Spider-Man Classics releasing Daredevil and Parachute Spider-Man in Series 6. So Series 6 of the Spider-Man Classics line had Daredevil and Parachute Spider-Man. And the reason why I mentioned that then is because you see them again here. So this Daredevil that came out in the Urban Legends box set is actually a repaint or a re-release of that exact same Daredevil figure that we got in Spider-Man Classic. The only difference now is that this Urban Legends Daredevil is darker in tone compared to the one that came out in Spider-Man Classics. So, yeah, that's that. The cool thing about this Daredevil is that it is a brand new buck. And I'm not sure exactly which used it first, but it is a new buck. And this is the same buck that would be used later on for other figures, including Silver Surfer, which is the next wave that we're going to talk about after this. But this is a brand new body, and it's got that ab crunch now that Gambit kind of introduced beforehand. So that's pretty cool. But it also does come with the ball-jointed hips and the ball shoulders. And yeah, if you take a look at those shoulders on this guy, as well as the Spider-Man that came out in the same line, ball joints everywhere. The shoulders are spheres, really, if you take a look. But the cool thing about this Daredevil is that it's very, the sculpt of it is really good. And I feel like it fits the character of Daredevil very, very well. Because he's not as lanky as the Spider-Man figure that came in this same box set, and which he's not supposed to be. I think of Daredevil as being someone that's a little bit more, like, it's got more mass than Spider-Man. So I feel like comparing the Daredevil and the Spider-Man here, you could tell there's like a distinct difference. Now, if you compare these Daredevil and Spider-Man figures to the ones that came out in like the very first Spider-Man Classics, that Spider-Man Classics, the Daredevil and the Spider-Man were both in the same buck. There really was no distinction between the two, but here in Urban Legends there is, and they definitely purposefully made Daredevil bigger than Spider-Man, which is what it's supposed to be. So that's the Daredevil for you. The Punisher now. The Punisher is the same, except there's a new head, there's a new trench coat, and the gloves and boots are painted glossy black. The head sculpt is a open mouth scowl as opposed to the closed mouth, I believe, of the closed mouth of the original series 4 Punisher. And between the two, between these two Punishers, I kind of prefer the series 4 one I prefer it slightly over this one here. Although if you take the trench coat out again, which is what I did with this Punisher that I got, because I do have this Punisher. I took out the trench coat and I find he's a lot better without it. This Punisher came not with a base, not with a bunch of guns, but with one huge bazooka, which is pretty cool. I don't think we've seen a bazooka in the Marvel Legends line yet. Anyway, so let's talk about Spider-Man 2. So this is a brand new buck that was also introduced. And if you look at this buck compared to Daredevil's, it's slimmer, although very, very similar. You could almost, and I almost kind of mistook the two of them. You can tell the Daredevil buck is slightly bigger, and the chest especially is bigger than the Spider-Man. But this is a generic looking buck. There's nothing about it that is specific to Spider-Man, the lines are painted on as opposed to sculpted on, as well as the eyes. The eyes are sculpted on. So this was definitely, you can tell, and Daredevil as well, you can tell that these two body molds are going to be repurposed several times. Or they were created for the with the intention of reusing them for more figures further down the line. I mentioned Parachute Spider-Man came out in Spider-Man Classics. This body is pretty much a reuse of that Spider-Man Classics Series 6 Parachute Spider-Man. And I'm not sure which one came first, really. But I do believe that that Parachute Spider-Man came out first, and then this Spider-Man came out immediately after. And then not too far after this, you have Mr. Fantastic reusing that exact same body as well. So yeah, you can, like, 2 years in, and you can see that a lot of these, a lot of reuse is already being done. The box set, this box set, I'm not sure if I mentioned already that the MSRP is $30. It does come with a full color poster book, like very similar to the X-Men Legends box set. And the figures also come with circular stands as opposed to bases. The stands say Urban Legend on them, and there's two pegs for each foot. For me, I didn't get this box set when it came out, but I did eventually chase down three of the four figures in this line. I do have that white Elektra, I have that Daredevil, and I do have that Punisher, but I got rid of the trench coat on that Punisher. I do wish that white Elektra, we still don't have a re-release of that figure or of that look, except for when Hasbro had that fan poll that they did last year, but it didn't win. So that fan poll, it was a white silk, it was white Elektra, and like a different look for Sif, Lady Sif, and the silk came out on top, and the other two were never re-released or never released. So if you guys want a white Elektra, you either have to customize one, or if you want an official Marvel Legends release, you'd have to chase down this Urban Legends Elektra, which, you know, honestly, I don't think will fit your shelf. It just looks way too outdated. That's my opinion anyway. Anyway, so that's that for the Urban Legends box set. Four pretty solid figures. Yeah, for the most part, I think this was a pretty good box set. Now let's move on to Series 5. Series 5 came out in November of 2003, and it would be the last series to come out in 2003. So again, there's only Series 4 and Series 5 to come out this year, but right in between you got two box sets or gift packs. So for the most part, I think you got, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 Marvel Legends figures came out in 2003, not counting the little accessory figures like Ant-Man and the Wasp. And, well, for Series 5, you got Howard the Duck going with Silver Surfer. Anyway, let's talk about Series 5 now. Series 5 has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 regular releases and one chase figure. And there's a very distinct reason why this figure was left as the chase figure. So let's get started. Let's talk about each one of them. Let's talk about Blade first. And there's a little bit of story behind Blade. Blade 2 just came out the year before, I believe. So it was a 2002 movie. This look, the Blade that came out here in Series 5, was the Blade 2 look. But it is not the very first movie Blade that Toy Biz created. And a lot of the inspiration for this Blade release was actually from 1998, back when the movie Blade figure came out. The very first movie Blade figure came out in 1998. 1998 was 2 years before Spider-Man Classics. It was 2 years before, like, the super articulated mission that Toy Biz kind of created for themselves. This was Toy Biz's very first attempt at a movie, Marvel movie figure. So Blade, the 1998, they call it the trench coat Blade. That's kind of the nickname that a lot of the collectors had for it back then. Trench coat Blade, or Blade, the 1998 movie Blade figure, has the distinction of being the very first movie figure that Toy Biz made. And it was almost Marvel Legends scale. It was like halfway between the 5 inches that Toy Biz used to make and the 6 inches that Marvel Legends is. It's sort of halfway in between. So you could almost see a bit of an evolution of Toy Biz, because that Blade, the trench coat Blade, was known for having some really detailed sculpts for its time. It was pretty innovative for its time. And you can see a lot of the influences from that Blade figure to this one that came out in Series 5. There are a lot of similarities. But yeah, there's no reuse, really, of the figure itself. There's no reuse from the 98 Blade. This Blade in Series 5 was an entirely new sculpt. The only reuse was the accessories. They were this Series 5 Blade's accessories were repurposed from that 1998 figure. So that's what makes this different. However, the motorcycle is brand new, and it's accurate to the motorcycle he rode in the movie Blade 2. But yeah, you got the gun, you got the spinning glaive thing, boomerang thingy that he has, and the sword. Those are all from that movie, the very first movie Blade. And the cool thing is, this was back in 2003 now. If you look at that sculpt, it is very reminiscent of Wesley Snipes. So, I mean, props to, I don't know who sculpted the Blade figure. Actually, Gentle Giant Studios is the credited for sculpting this Blade figure. So we don't know exactly who it was, but it for its time, it was a pretty awesome, pretty good likeness of Wesley Snipes. So that's Blade. One of the best, I would say, probably the best. I'm trying to think of other figures that would top it, but I would say that this Blade is probably the best movie figure that we got from Toy Biz. Let me know if there are other ones that you can think of, but, you know, Tom Jane Punisher, Ben Affleck Daredevil, those guys are Toy Biz figures, but none of them were as good as this one. Maybe a couple of Spider-Man, movie Spider-Man figures were more accurate, but I don't think they look like Tobey Maguire like this Blade looks like Wesley Snipes. Yeah. So that's that. Blade is a pretty cool figure. Let's move on to Colossus. So Colossus came out in Series 5. And when it came out, at the time, Colossus was actually dead in the comics. So this Colossus figure is a figure that was that had already passed. It was a classic look for a character that had just passed. So this was before the Astonishing X-Men resurrection of Colossus. This was the classic Dave Cockrum Colossus look. Also the Jim Lee look, I guess you could say. But Colossus had already passed away, so he wasn't in any of the X-Men comics when this came out. So that's kind of cool. Well, that's a unique look at it. 37 points of articulation. That makes this Colossus the third most articulated figure. Second most articulated figure. So Beast was the most articulated figure. So this is Colossus is probably like the third. Actually, you know what? He is the third most articulated because, and I'll tell you in an instant, because when this series came out, Beast used to hold the top spot for the most articulated Marvel Legends figure, and then he was brought down. He was no longer first. Something else took that top spot for first, or for most articulated figure. But it's not Colossus. Colossus went down to third. And the thing is, Colossus was the tallest Marvel Legends figure that came out. Not counting the Chase Giant Man figure, which is... Goliath. Not counting that Goliath figure from Series 4... Colossus, at the time, was the tallest Marvel Legends figure, which was fitting for the character because the character is supposed to be bigger than your average superhero. This Colossus came with a Sentinel stand. Trying to remember which Sentinel base it was. I believe it was a leg. Was it the torso? So again, yeah, it's the torso. Again, if you remember, Gambit had the hand and Magneto had the head of a Sentinel. So you can tell, like, these bases are meant to go together. So, very cool. This is actually a really good Colossus figure. If you compare him to the Silver Surfer that came out in the exact same wave, they're both chrome, but there's a paint wash to this Colossus that makes him more earthy, a lot darker than the Silver Surfer. So, pretty awesome. Trying to think of what else to say about this Colossus. It is, for a long time, it is also the definitive Colossus in a lot of people's shelves. There was a kind of a reuse or a slight retool of this figure that came out in X-Men Classics. I'll talk about that later on. But yeah, for the most part, this was the Colossus, and there would be no other Colossus in this look for a really long time until 2016 or 17, when the Marvel Legends 2-pack Colossus 2-pack with Juggernaut came out. So, yeah. Sorry, that was 2018, I think. So, 2003, 2018, that's quite a while. Pretty awesome. Even now, I feel like this Colossus still holds up. Maybe not so much in terms of like the overall what am I trying to say here? Like the overall proportions of him might be off now. He's more of a comic book proportions as opposed to more grounded proportions that we have in with Marvel Legends nowadays. But he still holds up, man. I really still like this Colossus figure. Although mine are pretty loose on the hips by this point. And I think mine, the torso is also pretty loose by this point. So I gotta fix that. Yeah, so Colossus, 37 points of articulation. Tallest Marvel Legends at the time. Mr. Fantastic now. This Mr. Fantastic is a reuse of the Spider-Man, Urban Legends Spider-Man body. So you can see it being reused here to good effect. Because I would say that, yeah, Mr. Fantastic and Spider-Man are, you know, kind of in the same vein. They're like lanky people. Although I don't imagine Mr. Fantastic really to be as ripped as the figure is. But for the most part, I think it works. The problem with this body is that it got a really small waist and really wide shoulders. But that's inherent to the sculpt, really. This Mr. Fantastic, the 4 is not sculpted because it is a standard buck that they're using. I do like the head sculpt. The temples on the sides of the hair there are rightfully white, like Mr. Fantastic is supposed to be. And this Mr. Fantastic came with a couple of accessories, one mainly being the Fantastic car, which I still do have, which kind of sucks now that we only have this one little piece of the Fantastic car. I wish they had more. But yeah, this Fantastic car was actually pretty awesome, and I still use it in my Fantastic Four display now. And I do have the Walgreens exclusive Mr. Fantastic sitting or standing inside of it. But this Mr. Fantastic also came with two interchangeable arms, arm accessories, and I think they have bendy wire inside of them. They're softer plastic. And yeah, so with this one, you're able to pull off the Mr. Fantastic's gloves and then attach these bigger hands to imitate his stretching effect, which is a really unique way of displaying Mr. Fantastic, or pretty unique in its delivery. So yeah, this was a really cool figure. And it sort of, you get three of the 4 Fantastic Four figures. So in Series 2, you got the Thing and you got the Human Torch. And then now you got Mr. Fantastic. I guess you could say the Invisible Woman is already there. You just can't see her. But but it would be like this for a really long time because we never really got an Invisible Woman in the Toy Biz line, Toy Biz Marvel Legends line. So you were left with just these three. And if you wanted an Invisible Woman, you would have had to wait until the Fantastic Four Classics line came out, which at this time did not come out yet. So this Mr. Fantastic sort of completes the males in the Fantastic Four roster, and it fits really well with the Series 2 figures. Although now that you have brand new base bodies, looking at that Human Torch from Series 2 now, which reuses a really old like the very first Spider-Man from the Spider-Man Classics in 2000, that Human Torch compared to what you're getting in Series 5, it looks outdated by this point. And, you know, that Human Torch would have benefited from using, you know, another buck. Maybe, even the same buck as Mr. Fantastic or even the Silver Surfer, Daredevil's buck, would have been better for the Human Torch. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about Nick Fury. Nick Fury, if you look at him, there's one thing that's really, really, that stands out with Nick Fury, and it's that he's got like this open mouth growl, and it's very clear that this figure was supposed to have come out with a cigar sculpted into his mouth. However, somewhere down the production, they decided to remove that cigar, so you're left with that growl, that very distinct growly expression that Nick Fury has. So a lot of people at the time, they used Milliput to, you know, to sculpt a cigar, and they just tacked it on, and it looks really good. So that's that. This Nick Fury reuses a lot of the Namor body, or Namor sculpt, the torso, like the torso that doesn't have the ab crunch, is one giveaway, as well as those skinny legs. And the base is actually also a reuse of the water spout that came with Namor, although it was repurposed here, retooled as flames coming out of his jetpack. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, that's pretty awesome right there. So Nick Fury kind of directly being a retool of Namor. And if you look at it, it just, it works. This is how retooling should be. Like, you can't really tell. It's hard to tell that they're the exact same buck. Anyway, there's really not much to say about this Nick Fury, except for the fact that it is pretty accurate to how he looked at the time. And, you know, Nick Fury wasn't that big of a deal back then. He was kind of just a background character, like S.H.I.E.L.D. was in the Avengers comics. And it wasn't until, you know, the MCU that Nick Fury kind of started to gain popularity again. Albeit it's the Sam Jackson Ultimates Nick Fury that sort of gained popularity, and this guy sort of fell by the wayside. So, yeah. There was a movie that did come out with David Hasselhoff as Nick Fury. They came out in the 90s, and yeah, people, it's forgettable. That's all I gotta say. I wasn't a big fan of that movie. Anyway, so yeah, that's Nick Fury for ya. Let's talk about Sabretooth now. Sabretooth is the most articulated figure at this time, at 44 points of articulation. Such a weird, like, distinction for Sabretooth. Like, you would expect Spider-Man to be more articulated than Sabretooth, but here we are. This is a huge Sabretooth. Really, if you look at his stats in the you know, the character guide, Marvel Legends character guide, or if you look at his stats in the trading cards, Sabretooth is not supposed to be this big, but he looks big here anyway. And maybe he's a little too big, but it does sort of mirror his look in the animated show. This is his Jim Lee look, Jim Lee redesign. And it is a good size for the Series 3 Wolverine that came out, which was also too big for the character. But if you put them side by side, then they kind of fit each other. Oversized, mind you, but they do complement each other that way. So that's the cool thing. I do like this Sabretooth, and it was my favorite Sabretooth kind of still is, because the Sabretooth that Hasbro put out just it doesn't really hold up to this guy. I still have mine, except it's super loose, especially the legs. The legs kind of are just really floppy, so it doesn't really stand very well. But yeah, this is still my favorite Sabretooth figure. This buck, this body, would be used later on down the line with Venom, and I believe Omega Red would also use this body, so it did get its reuse. So it's a pretty cool giant big man buck. It's not as big as Colossus, but it is up there in terms of height. So pretty cool figure. The base of Sabretooth is the, I believe, the leg now of the Sentinel. Is it the leg? Yeah, so you got the torso from Colossus. Now you got the leg from Sabretooth. You got the hand from Gambit. And then you had the head from Magneto. So that's pretty cool. If you have all of those, then props to you. Because a lot of people, eventually they would get rid of those unique bases to make more room for their figures on their shelves. And because ACBA, they're starting to, you know, create their own custom dioramas and all that stuff. So especially when the Build-A-Figure idea came out, these bases kind of took a back seat and sort of became forgotten. So anyway, yeah, all my bases, for example, for me, I have them all in storage, and very, very few do I have still out. Mr. Fantastic's Fantasticar I still have out, but looking at my collection now, no, I don't see any other bases really. So yeah, that's what I mean. But yeah, that's Sabretooth for you. Now let's move on to Silver Surfer. The Silver Surfer is the same generic buck as the Urban Legends Daredevil figure. So again, like, if you look back at the Urban Legends, Daredevil and Spider-Man, you have those two brand new generic bodies. You would see them reused in Series 5 with Silver Surfer and Mr. Fantastic. So pretty awesome. This is a very unique Silver Surfer, and for a time it was the best Silver Surfer, hands down, mainly because of the magnets that are attached to the bottom of his feet that go with his magnetic surfboard. I think around this time Toy Biz has kind of stopped vac metalizing. Vac metalizing is like a way that you can get that shine on figures using, I don't quite understand the vac metalizing process, but it's not like spray painting or anything. You use electricity to get these, the chrome to adhere to a surface is my understanding of vac metalizing. Correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, but they didn't vac metalize this Silver Surfer. They actually opted for using several layers of paint. So the base of it, I believe, is gray, and then they put silver paint on top, and then they had light blue highlights to cover to cover him up. I do find the blue highlights are a little bit too heavy-handed, but for the most part, there's something very, very Jack Kirby about that face sculpt that makes him stand out, and that's why I do consider this Silver Surfer a little bit, even slightly better, even like that head sculpt anyway, than the release that we got from Walgreens. Although I really do like that Walgreens Silver Surfer. It's the Silver Surfer that I have up in my display. I'm still very fond of this very first Silver Surfer. It comes with Howard the Duck, and Howard the Duck was it had articulated shoulders and neck, I believe. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, so there's the Silver Surfer for you. Pretty cool figure. It really is. Now, the chase figure for Series 5 is the Red Skull. And if you recall two episodes back, when I was talking about the 2002 Marvel Legends Toy Biz figures, I was talking about Daredevil being retooled for a brand new figure. And it's this figure right here. So the Red Skull borrows a couple of parts from that Ben Affleck Daredevil. And you can tell with the legs especially. Now it's very obvious why they decided to put Red Skull as the chase figure. Again, these chase figures, they're not just one per case. They're like one per multiple cases. So again, chase, meaning you have to chase around finding these guys in the secondary market. But yeah, it is definitely the chase figure because of the connotations. This is the Red Skull in a very Nazi-inspired outfit. Although you don't see any swastikas or anything like that, they wouldn't dare paint that on on any kid's toy line or this toy line right here. They wouldn't dare do that, but this figure was kind of on the edge. It's like teetering on that part where, you know, censorship and all that stuff. So yeah, this is this chase figure. Yeah, the base is pretty cool because it is actually, if you look at it, it's actually a repaint of the Captain America base, but it is like, instead of a brown wall, you have a gray wall, and instead of you have a green tank instead, and there's no flag or anything like that. Again, they don't want to add any negative connotations to this already borderline offensive figure right here. So pretty cool. We never ever got this Red Skull in this form after this. The closest we got really was the MCU Red Skull that we got in the 10th anniversary line, as well as the SDCC exclusive. That's the most that we got. But really, you don't have a German uniform Red Skull in comic book form yet. Anyway, so that's that. And for the most part, like, this Series 5 overall, again, a lot of one kind of an Avenger figure. That's Nick Fury. Red Skull, I guess you could count as an Avengers type figure. You have two X-Men, two Fantastic Four figures, and then you have a movie figure in Blade. So, pretty cool selection. This is the most, at seven figures, this is the most figures they've had in a wave yet. So that's just a proof that, like, this toy line, this line is just growing in popularity, and so the demands for figures is definitely increasing. Still, like, around this time, because they haven't released a lot of characters yet, there's still the heavy hitters. You know, you don't have the obscure characters like we do now, because we're so deep into Marvel Legends that, you know, you can create for every Captain America, you can have obscure characters like Caliban or whirlwind or rock python, right? So that's what we have now. But back then, it was all the heavy hitters. Aside from Toad, maybe, you have, yeah, like you have the basic Avengers characters. You have a lot of the popular X-Men characters as well. And you have the Fantastic Four characters. So pretty cool. So for the most part, Series 5, really good year for Marvel Legends. A bunch of new innovations, bunch of new body molds. We finally got a female figure. And yeah, it was a good year for collecting. Anyway, that's it, you guys. This is my take on the history of Marvel Legends second year, 2003. I'm sure I made a lot of mistakes along the way, or my version of things is completely different than what it actually is. This is definitely my interpretation of how the line went down. There's no handbook or anything like that that talks about these. A lot of the information I compiled from just reading websites, watching videos, and listening to other podcasts just like this. So, yeah, that's that. If you guys want to contribute to the podcast, if you want to, you know, send a voice message my way, definitely check in the the description of this podcast episode. And that way you'll see the research that I've done, and also you'll see a bunch of the links that I put down there. Anyway, it's super late now, and I should probably go to bed. But thank you guys for tuning in. Definitely stay tuned for more of this stuff right here, because gone are the days where I listen to reviews. I feel like for the most part, reviews have become kind of redundant because we kind of know what we're getting already. So I like having deeper discussions and deeper dives into, you know, the context in which these figures were released. Those are the conversations that I like having. So if you guys are interested in that stuff, definitely subscribe to this podcast and stay tuned for more. Anyway, it has been awesome. And yeah, I'm going to end it there. Really awkward way to end it, but that's it. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I will catch you in the next podcast episode. Take care.